So my name is Malik Smith. My pronouns are he, him, his. My family consists of my fiance Zakia and my two kids, Zakai and Zaire. And the age that I would go back to, I'd probably say it'd definitely be like 14. I'd be a freshman in high school again, just to, you know, relive those years, maybe take a few things more serious that I wish I took serious.
Absolutely. Well, clearly we know you're making it because Father of the Year right here.
Man, I try. All I do is try, for sure.
And that's all that matters, because a lot of people miss that part. But I appreciate you being here today. This conversation is circulating around fatherhood, what that looks like. I'm excited to talk to a young parent and truly get their perspective, because you're doing this dynamic work of figuring out your needs and how to operate within that, while also figuring out how to be the best father you can be and succeeding. I'm going to say that up front. And doing both. So I'm excited to hear how you shift your mindsets and how that operates simultaneously working as a parent trying to produce very smart, thoughtful, and successful children, because I see it in their futures.
For sure.
I'm going to kick us off right here with the first question. What does being a father mean to you? Like, how do you define fatherhood?
Well, I mean, you know, by definition, fatherhood is simply just the act of being a father. But, like, personally for me, I think fatherhood means taking on the responsibility of taking care of, nurturing, and I feel like most importantly, protecting these small humans, you know? Like, when we have kids, I don't think we realize it until they actually get here, but, like, they come here a blank slate, or like a new sponge that you just bought, right? And like, they literally soak up everything that you do, and they literally begin to like mimic you. So it's like, it's our duty as parents, but specifically as a father, you know, to make sure that these boys are ready to be out here in this world, because it's crazy. And you know, realizing that you have two young African-American males is, as a father, it's like almost my sole duty to make sure that they're able to grow up and be the type of men that they're supposed to be.
So what does making productive humans who are prepared for the world look like for you as a father, especially when it comes to raising young boys who are going to eventually be black men in this society?
Right. Just being able to move calculated, I would say. Being able to think before you act. And that's what we're working on every single day with Zakai. Thinking before you do stuff, because that boy literally will think something and do it immediately without thinking about any consequences, without thinking about how this affects anybody else. And I can't let him grow up and continue to act that way, because he's not going to be successful. He's not going to be a better grown-up. So, like, it's literally my job to make sure that they know how to move calculated, and also not always react based off your emotions. Be able to sit back, think about what you're feeling, and then digest that and be able to like move forward from, you know, whatever that situation might be. So I think being calculated, and then definitely being able to control your emotions is like two key ways I see them being able to be out here and be, you know, productive human beings.
I think that's so important coming from a male perspective. Both ideas of thoughtfulness and being in tune with your emotions. And I think that's such a strong thing to push at such an early age onto these young men, because their whole lives are going to be consumed by feeling. And I think that's something that a lot of men don't have the opportunity to do. And that's exactly why I got you on here today, because I appreciate the perspective of showing how being a man and raising men, young men, is rooted in controlling and being able to talk about emotions. And I definitely think your perspective in being a father and raising kids who understand these things is a part of bringing better adults into this next generation that we have coming, which I already think is in motion, because a lot of parents are working on this thoughtfulness and this this work of being better for their kids, and that exercise of emotion that a lot of us didn't see. And especially being a young black man, it gives you the opportunity to show that not only to your kids but their friends as well. So it's role model status.
I appreciate it, man. I think more than anything, though, I think like the new generation of parents have been able to be reflective on how certain ways that their parents have been or grandparents have been had the effect on their parents, and how their parenting style was towards, you know, them. So being able to be reflective in that can help for sure people to be more progressive in, you know, their parenting styles and stuff. So I think that's really what it boils down to at the end of the day.
As we talk about reflection, I'm interested to know, like, what was your relationship with your father, and how did it influence your decision and choice making, and your choice making in fatherhood?
For sure. So, like, my relationship with my dad now is almost crazy, because it's almost like we just like homeboys. Like, all day we talking on Instagram and the DMs. We sending back and forth sports stuff, whether it be hip-hop stuff or some sneakers that's finna come out or something. Like, we literally talk all day like that through Instagram. But for me, though, I think it was the foundation of my relationship with my dad that, like, kind of influenced my decision-making in fatherhood. Because when I was, like, 4 or 5, my parents got divorced. So it was almost like... I saw my dad like every other weekend, or it would be like weeks, you know, in the summer I'd be able to go kick it at his house, stay with him. But like, as a kid, I always found myself like yearning for that feeling of having like two parents in one household. So like, majority of the time, like, as a child was spent with me and my mom. So like, on a day-to-day basis, I would absolutely feel that lack of like a male presence in the house. And at a young age, I knew for a fact I didn't like that feeling. So I always vowed that whenever I had kids, like, they'd never be able to say that their dad was lacking in like any forms in their life. So I think that, you know, that situation in its entirety, like, help influence and make me want to overly be in my kids' lives, for sure.
And you know, that takes a lot of reflection. Like, it's not really a thing that's like you recognized some moments in your life that caused you to really think about how you want to make changes in the future. And I think that's a lot of work. Like, to recognize what happened to you then and figure out how you want to change it now. I think that takes us right to our next question. What kind of internal shifts did you have to make when becoming a father? Because I understand how thoughtful you are in processing situations and being reflective in what things impacted you. So what were some of those internal shifts that really made you like stand up and say, okay, this has to change for me to be the father I want to be?
Really, like, it really was just patience for me. Cause like you really don't know until like you're in that doctor's office and you're holding the kid and the doctors mm-hmm. and the nurses leave and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, like this is this is now
this one's my mine.
Sole, this is my sole responsibility. So, and just knowing that like if you're not like a teacher or ever had to teach anybody things, you don't mm-hmm. really consciously think about like the process of teaching mm-hmm. someone how to do stuff and realizing that when you're teaching them how to do it, they're not finna get it on this first try. So it's like you have to learn the patience, and learn with patience comes, I feel like, learning how to control your tone and learning how to, you know, talk to your child like they're just a regular person and not like out of anger, because you know that you done told them to not drop their food and they done put their whole plate on the floor. Like, you learn to control it and take a deep breath and know, like, okay, maybe this next time they're gonna get it, and the next time you look up and the whole plate clean. So it's like really patience for sure was an internal shift that I felt that I had. And also really like emotional as well. I felt like an emotional, almost like I became more empathetic when I had kids, because it's like, you know, I was an only child, so it was really just me all the time. But like actually after having a kid and realizing like I'll be watching something on Netflix or something and something happens to a kid and I feel myself mm-hmm. getting watery eyed and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And it's just, I don't know, I think it was like once I had Zakai and Zaire, it was just like it just felt like something that I finally had in life that I knew I cared about immediately, like mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think that definitely helped me just be able to become more vulnerable, be able to become more like open when it comes to being with them and trying to show them how to be vulnerable and open and stuff, and emotional. I'm not telling them it's okay to cry if you need to get that out, but you know, you don't have to throw a tantrum, you don't have to scream and hurt people because you're upset. It's okay to feel those emotions, but do it in this way. So it's just, I think those definitely were like two internal shifts that I had for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think something so important that you have here is very in tune with your emotions and supporting mm-hmm. the transition of their emotions, which is a lot of parenting. Like a yes. lot of parenting is recognizing a feeling that they're having and responding to it in a productive way. So I think something that you have here that I want to hear more about, what helped you to get in tune with your emotions, recognize feelings, and develop communication that allowed you to process that?
I think that I probably would have to like attribute to my mom, maybe, because I feel like growing up around her so much, like it was just us two, so if there was something wrong that I needed to get across, whether it be me feeling a way about, you know, the lack that I was having, you know, with my father, or maybe just something little, like something going on with schools, there was always like an open door policy, I guess you would say, with my mom. So she always made it easy to talk and get stuff off your chest and just be open. And I think she helped a bunch prepare me to do the same with my sons. Like it's, I feel like I probably wouldn't have became the father that I did if I mm-hmm. didn't have that like openness with at least somebody. It didn't have to be my mom. It just so happened mm-hmm. to. But just that openness allowed me to become, just think. And you, I know you said like reflective too. How did I become so reflective? I think being like an only child and growing up mm-hmm. like by myself, I feel like it always gave me more time to think about things and try to think about them from a different perspective and try to think about, well, why did somebody do this? Or maybe they did this for this reason. And maybe they were feeling like this and that caused them to do this. And it's like you just start to develop all these possibilities that allows you to look at things differently and helps you mm-hmm. assess things differently. And yeah, I think that like all just molded together into helping me be able to do the same things for my kids.
Mm-hmm. It's really like, it's work, like to consider all of these things and actually apply them when it's time to apply them. And something that I heard you talk about was patience and applying patience to situations. So what helps you to what helps you to be patient? Like, what do you think about in moments when you're like, okay, I gotta take a breath here? Because I definitely know there are situations where you might want to react to them kids first. but I would definitely say I have seen you take a deep breath and then figure out what you want to do. What promotes that patience for you and sustains it?
I think it's just, it boils down to just being able to realize like what the situation is at hand right now. Mm-hmm. Like tell yourself like, okay, this is your 1-year-old, this is your 2-year-old. They are acting this way because of this. So wait, take a second. Even if you need to leave the room and they just, you know, because I done been spit on, I done been hit, all type of stuff. Man, I'll tell you this. Okay, I'll tell this story since we on here. I think we were coming back from Texas, and I had Zakai sitting in his stroller waiting to get our stuff out from TSA, I think, or something. But I'm waiting, and he starts screaming, yelling or something. I'm like, Zakai, calm down. And all the TSA people are standing around. This boy looks up at me and full-blown spit a loogie at me. And I, like, in that moment, I felt myself about to slap 5 across his face. I felt it.
That's a proper response. Like that's a mind response.
No, I felt it, but I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. It's a lot of these people around. You in the airport. Just take a breather. He's obviously sleepy. He's obviously hungry. Something he needs something right now, so let's wait till we get through TSA and see what we could do to make sure that he's straight. But absolutely, in that moment, it like you almost have to catch yourself in your head, tell yourself, wait a minute, take a break, what just happened, and then move from there.
Mm-hmm. I heard you say he needs something right now, and mm-hmm. I think that's a lot. That's like the middle part of parenting that often gets not unaddressed, but sometimes put on the back burner, because you are handling two people's needs at one time. So in what ways do you like operate where you learn to address your needs while also addressing their needs? Because it's very important to maintain yourself when being a parent, because mm-hmm. if you're not happy, how can anybody else be happy? What are some ways that you address and balance both of those needs at the same time? Because you definitely needed to get that off your chest, that this little boy just spit in your face. How do you make sure you engage with your needs while also addressing theirs?
I think that's why And being a parent now and actually being in, you know what I'm saying, a two-parent household helps me understand now, because, like, most of the times when I do need to express my needs, the only person I can express them to is Zakiya. So I just, in certain moments where I'm like, look, I need you to sit in here with them. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to run to the store. And I'm going to just, I need to tag you in real quick so that you can give me this little break. So whether it just be that, but most of the time I find myself just being able to make sure that whatever needs that they need, get them out the way first, and then I tend to myself. So in the morning when I'm getting them ready, I make sure they get their milk, clothes is on. Then I get dressed and do whatever I need to do afterwards, because they get them out the way. Because I know at this time it's going to be a diaper, and at this time it's going to be, you know, Kai telling me he ready to eat. So let me make sure I get all of this in order first. Then I get myself together. So that's kind of how I've tried to structure it.
If you are putting them first, then they can relax because their needs are taken care of.
You feel me?
Which gives you the space to, like, really take care of yourself and not do it in a rush, not do it in a timed estimate. It really seems like you have built a system around this practice of fatherhood that allows you to create a lot of balance and structure for these boys. And that's something that is very, very commendable.
Man, and it really takes a lot of time and patience to get to a point where you're able to develop a routine and able to pick up on, you know, the tendencies, and knowing that he's starting to act crazy. Let me get this boy his iPad so he can sit down, watch whatever he's trying to watch today, whether it be I just put him on Wonder Pets. He's been on a Wonder Pets binge heavy lately. You want to watch some Wonder Pets or some Peppa Pig? Let's get him out the way in this iPad, and then, like, we can get whatever we need to get done.
Absolutely. So throughout the time that you've been developing as a father and raising these beautiful, beautiful boys, what has surprised you most about fatherhood?
I would probably say seeing their personalities develop and, like, how different they are. Because, like I said, I'm an only child, so, like, I've never been around, like, anybody younger than me and, like, literally seeing their personality develop from day one to day 1001. Like, it's crazy. Like, and plus, for me, it's even more crazy because it's almost knowing and being able to go back and watch the dynamic between you and your sister and seeing how these boys are literally the boy version of you and her is crazy. Because Kai is, like, totally different than Zaire. You know, he's all over the place. He's busy. Is the politically correct word we try to use. And Zaire is reserved. He chill. He gonna take his naps. He gonna wake up. You gotta feed him, or he gonna give you hell after he eat. He good. He gonna do him. But it's just so surprising to see Kai and, you know, just him be so full of personality and him indulge in this love for animals that I don't know where it came from, but it's just so crazy just to see that, like, develop.
As you watch their interests develop, I think something that you and your father have done an amazing job of doing is diving into those interests and really realizing how a relationship can develop out of two things that y'all just both care about.
Right.
And I think y'all do a great job of making sure that their interests are taken care of. That boy got more than a little bit of animals. So as you watch them grow, what are some things that you're like excited to share with them in y'all's relationships when it comes to interest and development?
Well, you already know me, man. I'm anticipating when Kai turned 3 so we could really dive into basketball for real. But really just sports in general, just to see how, because I feel like, and granted, I would say my parents did a good job of just letting me, you know what I'm saying, just be a kid and be into cartoons and anime, if that's what I was into at that time, you know what I mean? Like, they were definitely very supportive of that. And I feel like I'm going to do the same for the boys. But I'm going to definitely make sure, because Kai, just watching how active he could be, I know he'd be a hell of an athlete if it's not basketball or whatever it is. Maybe he want to play lacrosse, but definitely want to see how, you know, he grows and develops and hopefully finds a love for sports. And then, you know, I think it's just so dope now that we have so many different, like, streaming services that literally are uploading all the old stuff that we used to watch when we was kids. Mm-hmm. So, like, last night I found myself showing Kai and Nazi Pokemon before they was going to bed, and they in there literally watching it glued to the TV. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. So, like, just sharing little stuff like that. But for show to sports, you know, I'm trying to take LeVar Ball blueprint and do the same thing. You feel me?
The Smith brothers.
The Smith boys. We going crazy for sure.
That's dope. That's exciting. I think that's a huge part of building and maintaining relationships, too. They know their dad is engaged with the things that they're engaged with. And that's a definitely an exciting part about continuing to build relationships with your children. I think we touched on this a little bit, but I just want to hear a little more. What are you most excited about when it comes to seeing them grow? And what things are like, yes, I can't wait for this moment?
I think really just seeing like the choices that they decide to make as they get older, like good and bad, because I'd be a fool to sit here and believe that they not gonna make their, you know, fair share of bad choices. 9 times out of 10, Kai's probably gonna be the ringleader. But just seeing them, because I feel like learning how to make the right choice is a big part of being upstanding human being and an upstanding grown up. So just seeing how those choices develop and decision making develops, and being able to see how I can be a help into helping them figure out what decisions they should make or what paths they should go down. Because, you know, it's tough being out here by yourself, but when you have somebody that can put you on game and tell you, okay, look, this is what you can expect if you go this route, but if you go this route, you can expect this. And you know, just being able to put them on game and watch them do and decide to do what they want to do, just be them, that's probably what I'm most excited about for sure.
I really hear a lot of, basically it sounds like being a wingman, but like in a, you know, like in a fairy godfather aspect. Kind of way. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm the wingman for his life. I'm helping him out. I'm giving him all the alley-oops, all the assists to whatever he need. Like, yeah, this is, if you want to go this route, if you want to be good at this, if you want to, if we stay in Chicago, you want to go and you want to be around animals. Let's look into Chaz. We're going to take you to Chaz. You be out there with the farms and the chickens and all that. If that's what you want to do, we can, you know, just being able to help them, you know, make the decisions they want to make and be who they want to be.
Absolutely. I think that's just a vital part of building these better grown-ups from where we stand. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we make options and opportunities that maybe we had or didn't have, but create a space that allows them to grow up into the people that they're exactly hoping to be. And it's a lot of space in that for them to do that through the skills and lifestyles that you're building for him through y'all experience, your experience of fatherhood. So I know they're going to appreciate it in the long run, and the world is going to appreciate it too, because they're receiving two young men that are well-versed and prepared.
Man, they're going to be the most skilled human beings to ever grace the earth, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to have you do something for me, and you can take some time to think about it if you need to. I want you to give me 3 to 5 skills that are or have been the most important for you when being a father and remembering the role that you play in their life as a father.
You said 3 to 5 skills.
Yeah, sip your water.
Let's see. You said 3 to 5 skills that have helped me be like a better father. Of course, patience. I'll probably go 3. I probably can't think of 5 because I'm trying to tell you, 90% of the time I'm winging it.
patience. Hey, what's that? That's flexibility.
Flexibility. you gotta be flexible, cause you will look up and you think you finna leave out, and you got somebody that done pooped up they whole right leg of their pants. You gotta get to it in seconds. Patience, flexibility, and just understanding, man. Just being able to understand that, you know, you're dealing with a very fragile human being, mm-hmm. a very impressionable couple of human beings, because the two of their ass is crazy. But just being able to understand, like, in order for them to understand you, you gotta understand them. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, understand.
Absolutely. I just love the sound of that, because I feel like we wait a long time to start understanding kids, and they have somebody in this their life that, since the day they came out the womb, have been pushing to understand and see them exactly for the people that they are. I'm excited to see them grow too, because I feel like it's a rare occurrence, but it's truly a special experience and a privilege to engage with your parents in that way.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just giving them the opportunity to know that the door is open for whatever. I'm team giving them the knowledge out the gate that I'm team you. So whatever you want to do, I want to do. It's whatever. We rolling. If you want to go to veterinary school, we in there. We at the graduation tee, just like we would if you was at any other school. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the sound of that, and I love that for them. I wish every kid could have a Malik as a daddy.
Oh, man. For sure, man.
Y'all know we end every BBGU conversation with a little game, some fun. And because you got some young ones over there, I'm excited to play a little Would You Rather on some of the things that these babies need in their life, since we know you're very focused on needs. Sure. So I got some Would You Rathers for you, and you can tell me which one you'd rather do, or why, or like if they both suck. Let us know, because a lot of us are not parents yet.
Hey, it's gonna be a lot of they both sucks.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna go with the first one. Do you like morning time or nighttime?
I would say nighttime for sure, because oftentimes I feel like I struggle in the morning. I'm the type of person that wanna sleep in, even though that just so you know, any grown-ups listening, that doesn't exist when you have kids. There's no such thing as sleeping anymore. But I definitely say nighttime for me. You know, I feel like I developed a whole nighttime routine with them. You know, dinner, bath, pajamas. We watching something. Y'all drink y'all milk. At some point after that, it's time to go to bed. So I think I probably pick nighttime.
That sounds like a bonding experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, since you're working in nighttime, I guess these two things both go there. Would you rather do dinner or bath time?
Like cook dinner or give out baths? Mm-hmm. As of late, I ain't gonna lie, I cook dinner, bro. Because Zaire has been... I'm going to poop as soon as you put me in the tub binge, and that's just no fun for anybody. So
not repetitively. Not this, is his brand.
This is his thing now. Like, he get in the tub, he poop and laugh, and I'm like, dude, like,
now he know what he doing.
You know that we gonna have to shoot the one when you turn 15 for the poop bath that you. Poop bath bombs you was letting off in the tub, bro. Like, no, I'm gonna have to go dinner right now. Bath something. I'm gonna stick with dinner. Dinner for sure.
Absolutely. Dirty diapers or snotty noses?
I'm gonna have to go snotty nose. Cause them diapers is not nothing to play with at all.
I feel like trying to wrestle with them to get the snotty nose is stressful too.
Nah, it's cool. I'm cool with the, you get the baby wipe and you just gotta get some nice wrist strength so you can hold their face and get the wiping. Cause them diapers, man, it's a high chance you might get an atomic bomb in that joint, and I'd rather deal with the snot for sure.
You handing the keys for sure. I gotta get the chin strap.
Hold them right there, and then you get a good little 1, 2, 3, and they're good.
Perfect. Let me see. Pick up or drop off?
Drop off king, man. I'm dropping them off wherever, because the pickup it's too many things needed. Soon as Kai get in the car, he want juice, iPad, snack. Like, I'd rather the drop off.
Absolutely. Let them go and let them flow.
Yeah, like wherever they going, I'll be there to put them down with their diaper bag and all. Like, take them. Drop off.
That's the beginning of your day when they go to school.
For sure.
If you had to pick for them to be interested in one of the things that you are interested in, would you rather them be sneakerheads or basketball stars?
It's a toughie. I don't know, man. I feel like, honestly, I would say basketball, because them being sneakerheads would mean that's three pairs of shoes I gotta get when every release come out. So I think I'm gonna go basketball, because, like, I definitely did them a service. Like, they gonna always have a partner in crime on the court. Like, they can run 2-on-2 with anybody for the rest of their life. Like, they cool. But yeah, I'm gonna go basketball.
They always got a teammate, huh?
Psst, man, dynamic duo for the rest of their life.
I'm definitely excited to see these boys turn into the thoughtful, emotional, and focused human beings that you are really setting up the keys for them to create right now. I really appreciate the role that and perspective that you take on in fatherhood. And I definitely know a lot of people going to listen and learn a lot from what you're offering to these kids, because it takes a lot to do it. But when you hear that somebody's going through the exact same thing you're going through, it just pushes you even further. So I thank you for sharing the conversation with me today, being vulnerable about what fatherhood looks like to you, and continuing to raise these boys that I'm so excited to meet when they 15.
For sure, man. I appreciate you for just allowing me to, you know, the space to, you know, open up about fatherhood, give out the gems, because it ain't, it's, trust me, when I tell any, you know, new parents, thinking baby fever people, you know what I'm saying? There's no playbook, there's no how-to guide to this. Like, you really gotta jump off the porch and really get it out the mud and figuring out what works for you as a parent. But once you, you know what I'm saying, once you off the porch, you off the porch, and you gotta figure it out from there. So
yeah, I definitely think you've done a great job of doing that, and doing it very quickly and efficiently. So I appreciate the love that you shared for my nephews, and I appreciate the love that you're vice versa putting in the world through them. It's been great having some dope conversations with you. I'm excited to keep this up for a long time. I appreciate you checking in with BBGU, and I appreciate everybody checking in with another episode for us. I'm so excited to hear what everybody learns from you, because I definitely know it's beneficial to share these conversations, especially about things that we haven't thought about yet, but can learn from people who are engaging with them right now and sharing with us the truth about learning through them. So I appreciate y'all checking in with BBGU. As you know, we'll be back every week with a new episode. Thank you.